This is Embracing Change with Lakrita Bowman and Jennifer Osborne. Welcome back to the Embracing Change podcast. Today we're going to be talking about a subject that people really wrestle with. Either they will run from it, or they'll confront it, or they'll seek it out. And that is conflict and how conflict is involved with change. I'm kind of looking forward to this in the sense that I think this is going to bring a lot of truth to people that struggle with conflict. Because some people, like I said, will run from it and they don't want to confront anything related to conflict. They'll run away from it. Some people see conflict as a way of life. I hate to say that, but you know, they're always in conflict one way or the other. But there's a way you can have healthy conflict and unhealthy conflict, and how you can face it head on. So,
yeah. You know, we talked about in the last episode, we talked about what it is to have courage. I think you have to have courage in order to be able to face conflict.
Yeah.
Because there's no way that you can have healthy, you can face conflict and not have courage. You can just have chaos and conflict. But I'd rather you have courage and walk through the conflict for you to equal the change you want. And so for me, I think that for what I look at as conflict of change is the reaction to information as a threat to old patterns of thinking. I believe that the reason we have so much conflict in embracing change is because it's an enemy and not a friend. In other words, the enemy comes in our mind, and it is a belief system. So we do reaction versus responding to the new information. So because we defend more of the belief systems that we have. So if someone comes in and says, invites you into a opportunity for something different, it's easier for you to say, I'm comfortable where I am. And it's almost like this hourglass. And the hourglass, when you turn the sand up, like the days of our lives, and you turn the sand up, at the top of it, the sand is full and it looks, but to get to the bottom, it's got to go through a tight squeeze. That's a conflict. It's an agitation. It's an irritation. And usually we respond to it or react to it versus respond to it, if that makes sense.
It does.
And so we really are fighting. And so new information is a threat to old beliefs. So they run into each other like in a boxing ring. And you got your corner, I got my corner. And then you have the referee in the middle. And then the referee comes and says, round one. And then that round, you come out to fight and you are both in this natural conflict. And we talk about the four F's, about there's the fight, the flight, the freeze, and the fawn. We talk about those. I know I can only share with me that the biggest thing for me, from my trauma and through my traumatic experiences in my life, is I didn't do a lot of, I froze more or less emotionally in natural development. I froze as a five-year-old. I grew chronologically. But when I was growing, I was fighting most of my life to survive. So I took on the fight response to trauma. And so the conflict came in, everything was a fight. Even if someone wasn't trying to fight, my approach and my posture, my body language, my facial expression, nothing was restful about me. It was always, I'm ready to box you. And my response, my reaction to you was, you're not going to win. I am. So come with your best shot. Because regardless to what you do and how you do it, I am going to beat you. Because I've been beat so much, nobody else is going to beat me. So I fought. And so I think that a lot of times when you are not taught what that means, you have to go in through a learning mindset that has to change. It's changing the mind, not the behaviors. You know, I've seen all kind of programs with behavior modification. I can modify your behaviors, but if I have not changed your mindset and really created an opportunity for you to buy into a new belief system, it's only a matter of time that you're going to relapse and return back to the old choices that you make.
So it's really figuring out how to approach conflict in a way that helps support continuing change.
Exactly. And I think that's foresight. You know, the four F's, you know, the fight, the flight, the freeze, the fawn, you know, whether you take on one of those characters, and I'm going to define all of them for you. The fight is looking at our mindset from reaction to responding. Stop reacting to new information as a threat or opposition. Instead, see it as opportunities. But we know that the natural fight is that you are wrong and I am right. So if you're fighting with that all the time, nobody can really get you information in because there's a blockage. It's almost like I use this analogy that says in our mind. So if listeners, if you just close your eyes for a minute and just imagine your brain and you have two chambers, the right and the left. And it's like I said, the boxing ring, and the referee comes out. He sits in the middle of your sphere, and he comes out. And he says, okay, here comes some new information. And instead of you just sitting in your corners and listening to the full instruction, you come out before he says ready and go. And so either you come out with your sword, you come out with your hammer. So you both are running at each other. And so it's really you fighting you. And what you're fighting against is new information in the middle. You can't even really hear it. So it's already an oppositional thinking. So you come out ready to defend what you have always believed to be true, because to let that go would mean you were wrong. And how many of us like to be wrong? None of us.
Right.
And then we will define it and justify it and rationalize it. All of the other side ingredients comes out. Justification. I call them denial, which is Deanie, and, you know, justify, which is Jesse, you know, and then you have, you know, all of those reasons coming out, you know, then you come into a fact of saying you think you know more than I do. And so, you know, it's rationalization, which is Rashi, you know, it's like, quit rationalizing, you know, Rashi, sit down, itchy. Sit down. You got a rash on you. You're rationalizing something that ain't true. And so you're scratching the surface of life for real. You're just scratching the surface. You ain't really getting to the root of the issue because you're too busy fighting the new information. Then you got the flight. For me, the definition is stop running away from the pain, anger, and rejection. Be open to go higher and take a higher viewpoint, a higher perspective. Slow your thinking down. Slow it down. Not everybody is against you. But if you don't slow down long enough to be able to stay in the moment, the right now, quit living in the past, quit going to the future, stay right here. Because I really can't, if you don't stay in the moment and you leave the room, though your body is sitting there, nothing I say matters. And that's how I used to be. Nothing you said mattered. I couldn't really hear you. I left the room, though my body is right here. I don't left the room. I'm gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't ran. Because even if you're telling me the truth, it's against what I believe. So I think we take on those kind of things, and then things happen, and then we wonder why they happen. So conflict comes, and that's why the conflict is there, because we know that everything that has to change goes through agitation and to get clean. You put stuff in the washer. You know what cleans it? Not the detergent. The agitator on the washer. It beats the dirt out. It's a conflict. The detergent just gives it a good smell. So sometimes we have to be beaten and be agitated and irritated in our conflict for change. And let the conflict become our friend for an opportunity instead of ever being an opposition.
That reminds me of a previous podcast where we talked about rarely do you change out of a place of comfort.
Exactly.
You typically will change out of something that is making you uncomfortable. And so in this case, conflict can help that.
Exactly.
If you see it as more of a friend and not
an opposer,
yeah.
An enemy.
Or running away from it.
Exactly. So you don't take on the flight of the conflict. You stay in the moment.
Yeah.
And then you have the freeze. And that's being willing to thaw out. Come on. Most of us been froze in a situation for so long. And in order for you to thaw out, you got to be open to moving towards a new perspective. And so when I look at freeze, I'm thinking, you know, put it in the freezer. I say that now. I may not need the information today, but guess what I am going to do? I'm going to freeze it because I may need to thaw it out and use it later. I may not be ready today, even in my recovery and in my growing up and in my development. I may not be able to have the perspective of what a person has given me, but I'm always open to the information. So what I'm going to do with the information is I'm actually going to put it in the freezer. And then just like leftover food. And then I'm going to pull it out when I need it. And it's going to nurture what I need in that moment. But when you use freezing as a negative, you just freeze yourself and stop. You don't hear nothing. You can't receive nothing. It's like hitting the iceberg, like the Titanic.
Yeah.
You're too confident in what you think you know, but you're frozen in that mindset and nothing can get in there, even a hot dryer. And you are just like, no, I'm not going to because I'm too busy fighting. I'm too busy running. I'm also frozen. It just goes back to the one show called Frozen. Remember the girl, she was able to just blow and freeze up everybody, you know. So it's about learning to unthaw yourself or being thawed out, meaning let yourself melt down. Melt yourself down. You're not that big. You're not that bad. And it's not that bad. And it really isn't as big, even though it's painful. You have the ability with other people's help and your willingness to allow yourself to melt down into water and liquid to be reformed.
Yeah, rarely are situations that you're avoiding as big as you make them in your head, or even conversations. They are rarely as big as you make them. And it's only when you face them head on with humility that you realize that it's not as bad as you thought.
Exactly. It's just because most of the time, it's about learning a new mindset. It's about not letting your old mindset be a threat to your new mindset. Mm. And so if you constantly in threat mode, and I can only share from my experience. I'm, again, 60 years old. It's my story and I'm going to tell it. It's my podcast. I'm going to share it. And so I say to people now, though I am 60, when I began to be unthawed or stop fighting, stop running, stop protecting myself through fun, I was 32 years old. So I'm 28 in my developmental state. I'm experiencing things. So with my 5-year-old and my 28, you put those together, you got 33. So I look at myself as being 33 right now. So my thoughts and my brain have been regenerated. Seriously, my memory, my ability to think quick. I think because I've let go of so much, I melt down all of the false truths. So it opens space in my head and my brain and my mind to receive, I believe, a new mind. The Bible says, be therefore not conformed to this world, but be ye renewed by the renewing of your mind, be recreated. Let your mind be renewed. I believe that my mind has been renewed. So I was restored back things in my brain and my ability to learn and obtain and retain information. Because when I finally went through the process of not running, not fighting, not freezing, and not fawning, I was able to be still and relearn and become someone different, even though I'm the same person. It's just how I think now. So now new information is no longer a threat based to my new mindset. I'm open to it. I'm open to anything that comes in, and I can weigh it out. I can kind of then look at the new boundaries and look at create new boundaries of, do I need to protect? Is this something I can build new trusting skills? Do I need to become authentic instead of fake? What do I need to do in this situation? Now I can think it through because I'm staying in the moment.
That reminded me of a story that someone had relayed to me about how when you grow and your mind changes and you mature, if you were to try to have a conversation with yourself from where you started, you would not even be able to relate because you've grown so much in how you've processed information, how you've processed, you know, whatever it is, your trauma, your, you know, whatever it is. Or if you're trying to relate to yourself as a child, like children are interested in much different things than adults are, obviously, because you mature and you do change and your processes are different in how you look at stuff. So,
and not only that, I hear Oprah and all of them always saying, if you could talk to your young self or you can talk to your younger self, what would you tell them? Well, to me, you know what I would tell my younger self? You go, girl. You survived a whole lot of stuff.
That's right.
And I'm proud of you because I'm not trying to kill you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to include you. So I need us to grow up together. I need you to come alongside me. I really, really appreciate that you helped me survive through not knowing who I was for real. I appreciate that you helped me not hate, you know, get through the sexual abuse that I encountered for 2.5 years as a child. I thank you for helping me get over the injustice that I endowed on me at 12 in the mental state hospital from the judicial system. I thank you for helping me understand those three areas that was traumatic for me. And yet now I need to take you on a journey and I need you to trust the me I'm becoming instead of the me that I was.
Yeah.
And that I've learned new ways to cope in the complexity of the conflict. And I've learned new truths for the change. So I need us to come alongside. I want to take you on this journey with me. But thank you for helping me survive it. Now I want to show you how to thrive. Because this new information is going to be about us both. I'm not trying to kill you. I don't want to let you go. Because you're a big part of me. I still need you. I just don't need you running my life.
Yeah.
I need you alongside my life.
You want to help her grow as much as you've grown. You want to bring her up to where she needs
to be. Yeah, so when I started this journey, that's what I said to her. And when she would come out, I would see her. Oh, she was obvious. And I would say to her, I don't need you to defend me. We're good. This person may be hurting my feelings right now, but it's also building up resilience in a way that's mature and healthy. And I don't have to, we don't have to react. Don't cut their heads off. It's okay with your tongue. Don't do it. Don't freeze them out like they don't exist and reject them because you're fearful of being rejected. Don't abandon them because you're so afraid that you may be abandoned. Stay in the moment. Stay right here. Injustice will happen in this life, but justice will come eventually. So it's just about being aware with the patterns and the mindsets of your belief systems in a way that you are consciously present, that you can see that this is not
really what this person's intentions are. And they may also be dealing from a hurt place.
Yeah.
So let's consider their pain. And let's step back and let's process it. And I think we don't do that enough for each other in life. We're too busy trying to defend, as I said earlier, who likes to be wrong?
Nobody. Right? Nobody.
Nobody.
Right.
Likes to be wrong. And it's hard to admit when you're wrong. And you almost try to pattern it and patent it in a way instead of just saying, hey, the way I handled that, I was wrong. Forgive me. I'm learning how to do that better.
I think that's because people tend to judge themselves when, or they think that being wrong
is a judgment.
It's a judgment, and that they are not as good if they're wrong, rather than that being wrong is natural.
Well, because it goes back to fawn. If you look at the definition of F-A-W-N as part of the four F's, it says it's a protective surface level engaging. You have learned how to protect yourself. So to admit you're wrong is to protect yourself because you already believe that your value is about being right and perfect and surface instead of authentic and genuine and naked and unashamed and just saying, I don't know everything, but that which I do know, I do my best in. But that I don't, I let somebody else do.
Yeah. There's a lot of freedom admitting you're wrong, too.
Oh, it is.
Being able to embrace that and say, it's okay that I don't know, or that I did something wrong, I did the best I could. That didn't turn out so great. So much freedom.
But it's a lot of freedom.
It is, because the other side of it is if you are constantly judging yourself when you're wrong, then you're constantly looking at yourself that you're not as good. You kind of develop a lot of self-hatred. It can go to a really bad place really quick.
And that's why learning new mindsets takes listening, learning, speaking, and doing. It's a cycle. First, you've got to be open to listening. Then you have to be open to learning. Then you have to be open to speaking. Then you have to be open to doing. It has to be a cycle of it all. You can't just, you know, it can't just be, I'm just listening. No, you got to listen. Then you got to learn what you listen to. Then you go from listening to learning to speaking it to yourself, then speaking it to yourself and speaking it to others, then actually doing it, acting on it. For me, I'm good at that. I listen to something, whether it's a book or whether it's music, whether it's information. I then want to learn it. It means I sit with it. I meditate on it. I look at what areas that is challenging me on. What is it conflicting? Why am I feeling agitated? Why am I feeling, you know, like, why is this bothering me? I ask myself, you know, if it's outside of me, why is something outside of me causing me conflict? And so I have to ask myself, what is it that's outside causing the inside of me to be agitated? So it's probably something I need to learn about me. So I have to learn it about me. Then I have to speak it and say, oh, wow, that's true. The reason I'm feeling this way is because I used to do all of that. Mm-hmm. And now they're doing it. And if they're doing it, it reminds me of who I used to be. And so the same way that I had space, I need to give them space. So I start speaking to myself so I won't react to it. Then I began to respond and doing and treating them in a different way because I realized that they're only going through some of the same things I went through.
And practicing that probably gets easier and easier as you do it.
Oh, it does.
Like second nature.
It becomes the next, because again, you're going from a learning mindset. You're switching up from a threat mindset to a learning mindset. So you go from being threatened by new information to embracing new information.
Oh, that's good. That's really good.
Yeah.
Even the conflict internally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You start listening to it.
Yeah.
Everybody has it. I don't care what God you serve. I serve the true and living God, but some people serve different gods. But there's something naturally that the way he created us all, we have this still small voice inside of us, or this unction of feeling
that tells us when we're going in the wrong direction. The question is, are we still enough to listen to it? Do we feel it? Do we hear it? Do we sense it? Do we question it? What do we do with it? Because that's the conflict. I tell people all the time, I remember when I didn't even, was not conscious. There was times that when I would be doing illegal things, I would have this voice inside of me or this feeling that would say, don't sell that dope that day, or don't steal that. And I'm telling you, every time I went against it, every time I went to prison, every time. And when I went back to look at my life, it was a warning that you've stepped over too far and you need not to go today. And I now know that that was, for me, it was the Holy Spirit and God trying to save my life from myself. I just wouldn't listen.
It's good that you can look back and recognize that, though. Isn't he a good God that he just stays with us? And
he's a wonderful God. But the one thing I want to say in closing, too, is this. I thank God that he worked all things together for my good, but nothing that I did of my own was his best for me. Hmm. See, and I think too often we justify our illegal gains and our irrational thinking, even as Christians. And we take his word and we utilize it to still be selfish and self-centered and egotistic. No wonder no one wants to be a believer.
Right.
Because most of us who are still so toe up that we act as though justification and mercy and his unleveraged grace is okay to live however we want to. But no, my going to prison 5 times, me living in homosexuality, me lying and stealing, selling dope, and doing all that and killing other people's future and other people's dream was not his best for me.
Right.
But did he take it and use it together for the good of someone else? Yes, because he's a redeeming daddy. So he took that which I did not value and repurposed it for someone else's life. But that was not his best for me. My mother leaving me, that was not his best. That man abusing me was not his best. That judge put me in the mental hospital was not his best for me. Those were human beings making choices because they have free will. And I reciprocated through those moments. And then I chose to live a life based on those 3 choices. But that was never his best, that I go to prison 5 times. That I live out of my lack of identity. No. I am more than a conqueror in him. He is the great and mighty one. The conflict is between me and me. It ain't between nobody else. Until I realize, to any of us realize that. That's the boundary we have to learn. How to take ourselves in the mirror and look at us. Take ourselves to the boxing ring and wrestle us to the ground. Till we submit to what's best for us and become the amazing creation that we are. Because nothing, he will hold no good thing from us.
Amen. Wow, this has been great. I must hate that it's time to end, but in closing, was there anything, just one thing that you would want the listeners to kind of think on till we get to the next episode about conflict and change? And
I think until you look at yourself, again, I'm always say, take it to the mirror. What's looking back at you? Who's looking back at you? Mm. That is the person you need to wrestle with and fight with the most, not other people.
That's true. That's so true. Well, all right. Well, thank you so much for all of that truth, and it's been really good.
You've been listening to the Embracing Change podcast. Music production and mastering by Gone Coastal Productions. Podcast editing and production by Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2021 by Lacreta Bowman.